The 2025 NHL draft is done for the Calgary Flames. 8 players selected in this year's draft, and we are joined by the director of amateur scouting, Todd Button, here in the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Todd, appreciate the time. How are you feeling after another successful draft for your group?
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me again.
Let's start there. I asked you off the air. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever drafted or traded back in once all your picks were done? I can't remember it ever happening. Can you?
I'd say no. We've never done it. But the lesson is, when Craig Conroy's the producer, don't ever leave the theater till all the credits are run.
Okay.
You might miss a scene.
So how did this one – so you take Yan Matveyko from CSKA in Russia, 3 picks after what we thought was your final pick. What went into trading back into the 7th round?
So as you know, we've talked about a lot over the years about how we operate. And we have our main list, and then once that's exhausted, we go to the area, guys. So, you know, we're in this big room, and usually you're at the table, so I walk around and ask guys for who they pick at what point and everything. So in the room we're in, you know, you don't have to worry about being quiet. You can do it in the whole open room. So after we took Maceo Phillips, like, it was wide open for everybody to get the area guys in. So it went like that until that pick. And then, you know, there were some good debates, there were some good conversations, and we made our decisions. And then at that point, like, we were stuck on these two guys, like our Swedish scout, David Åkerblom, and Dennis Grabeshkov. Both like their players, and one's a big center iceman, one's a big rugged defenseman. So Connie said, I'll get you another pick. So we made the first pick, and then once he secured the next one, it was the big center iceman from Russia.
Well, let's go through this year's draft. Let's go through the players that you selected, and maybe starting with your first round selections. Let's go a little bit more in depth on the two guys that you chose on Friday, and start with Cole Reshny, who you get at number 18 overall. I gotta believe that this is exactly the intersection you were talking about when you sat right there on Thursday and looked back at 2021. You say, hey, at that time the organization needed a right shot right winger, and it intersected with Matt Coronato being the best player on our board. Is that what happened with Cole Reshny, a center, this year?
Specifically, I wouldn't say I thought we were going to get Cole, but specifically I would say I thought we were going to get that type of center iceman that can produce offense. And you know, I'm sure you've spoken to the kid. He's a well-spoken, articulate kid. He's a 200-foot player. He understands the game. He was a young player. You know, watched him at the end of the year with playing against Spokane, and it was like I was at 3 games, and it was fun. It was exciting. Like, just as a scout, you're trying to evaluate, but it was basically Reshny's line against Katten's line, and you know, it was they were going back and forth. So that was like our final evaluation, and then he hops on a plane and it heads to Texas. So I'm just ecstatic about, like you said, getting the center position and getting smarts, getting skill, getting compete, because this guy digs in. He goes to the hard areas, and he's won at every level. Like, he's Hockey Canada, he wins at 16, he wins at 17, so very excited about him.
And I know that Craig Conroy talked last night about this, and he talked about this when he joined us. It's not just his offensive game, is it? There's a really impressive 200-foot game with Cole, isn't there?
There is, and part of that, like I said about the Berkeley Cat, like, everybody knows how good a player he is. He was 8th overall last year, and then he's playing on a line with Chris Dahl. You know, I think he was WHL player of the year. So when I'm in there watching them in the playoffs and they're going head to head, like, hey, you know, it's tough. It's a tough matchup, and he didn't win them all, but he came back for everyone. He came back for every contest and matchup, and like I said, it was fun to watch him go back and forth.
A lot of times I ask you about kind of like what you project a player as at the next level, especially your top pick every year. What would you say when projecting Cole Reshny at the NHL level?
I think he's going to fit in as a top 6 center. I think he's got it all. He's just, you know, smarts off the charts, really sneaky, skilled. He's not a flashy guy. He's not one of those guys that's going to go and try and make highlight real plays. He plays the game the right way, and he still puts almost 100 points, and he's a 17-year-old. So all that part to me, it screams offensive, responsible. He was good on faceoffs. Like, a lot of these kids, when we were talking about him in the meetings, they're like, well, he's not good on faceoffs. Well, if you look, a lot of them aren't good on faceoffs.
Yeah.
This guy was good on faceoffs. So he's got a mature game already. He's a mature player. He's a mature person. Like, just like I said, it's he fits. He just fits.
And then your next pick on Friday night was another center iceman. You go to Arizona State and you take Cullen Potter. Tell us about and Craig Conroy told us that a couple times he tried to move up to get Cullen because you wanted him that bad. He was still there for you at 32nd. How elated were you that you were able to get Cullen with your last pick on Friday?
Well, we were, and we weren't. Like I told you, we weren't going to reach for centers. And you know, you get to the point where you're on your list. And he's sliding and sliding, and that's what Connie's talking about. Let's try and go get him. And we did, and it turns out we get him at 32 anyway. He's he can fly. He can absolutely fly. He was a 17-year-old playing D1 hockey in a good conference. The biggest thing about him is his drive to get better. And he didn't just accept going back to the under-18 team. He thought he wanted to push himself, play against bigger, stronger guys. He told us, I knew I had to do that. This guy is self-motivated. He's self-driven. He has no fear on the ice. He goes into the hard areas. He's got, like, speed to burn. So all of it put together, and then a little bit of a backstory on him with his family and everything.
Yeah.
We had some information on him that I'm sure everybody had it, but we had some unique information that maybe everybody didn't have. So once we got everything put together, like the mental performance, the bloodlines, the on-ice performance, really excited to get him.
Do you project him as an NHL center?
That's what we drafted him for. So, you know, when we do our projections and we're sitting in the room, we're saying he's going to be a center. Yeah, he's going to be a center. Well, there's still time to if he doesn't. But we didn't draft him to play wing. We drafted him to play center.
And let's move to your final center, your first pick today on Saturday. You go to Sweden. That Djurgården program had four picks in the top 60, a really good team this year, a really good program. They won the double and all that type of stuff. And you take Theo Staxelius, another center iceman, at 54th overall. Tell us about what your group likes so much about him.
Hockey sense, skill. Position versatility, because we saw him play a lot of left wing this year. He played with Erik Nilsson on a bunch of games that I saw. So he played left wing, he played center, he played right wing at some points in the under-18s in Texas, up and down the lineup. I know you know about the cancer and everything, so we think he's underdeveloped still. He's still got some physical maturity to do. And at 6'3", 185, quick hands, smart, size, brain. We think the physical maturity is really going to add to his game. But he's over a point a game this year. He's almost over a point a game last year. He's a good player.
And your first three picks, you're able to, again, you weren't reaching for it, but to get three centers or three guys who can play center with your first three picks all in the top 60, just organizationally, that had to be such a big kind of bonus win on top of everything.
Sure. Like I said, it all intersected, right? Like his skill, speed, like Potter and then Reshny and Theo. Like I said, I've seen Theo play more wing than I've seen him play center. But he has a lot of mannerisms of the center as far as playmaking and being able to slow down and speed up and buy time to make a play. And he's got the quick hands and the quick vision to make those quick plays entering the zone. So.
We're chatting with Todd Button, the director of amateur scouting for the Calgary Flames. Eight picks in the books for the 2025 NHL draft. Let me ask you about the two defensemen you take. The first thing that we had a chance to chat with Maceo Phillips, so my biggest takeaway is how affable and how easy to talk to the young man was. But the first thing that I saw was, oh my goodness, 6'6", 235 pounds. That is that's a big young man. What did your group like about Maceo out of the U.S. National Team Development Program?
Well, I think there's a subset of defensemen, you know, the big rangy defensemen with mobility who have kind of a hard to play against mindset. And they're almost like goalies now in that once one of them starts to go, they all start to go.
Right.
And we had that subset and it was starting to dwindle. And I said, we don't want to reach, but, and I'm not saying this is a reach. What I'm saying is, we had him in the spot where we took him, and he was the next guy. But when we're supporting our list together, you have a little subset next to his name saying, this is a more of a special type of defenseman. And I think he's going to go to Portland next year, and then he's going to go off to the University of Minnesota. When we talked to him in the interview, he said he was going to wait till he got drafted and make his decision with the team that drafted him. And then I think he's off to the University of Minnesota after that. But he definitely needs to play and play a lot. And so it's Green Bay, I think, in the USHL, or Portland in the WHL. And Portland's
okay.
Portland's on board if we bring him there. No decisions have been made. But the biggest thing for Maceo is just to get reps. He's just got to get reps, be able to make mistakes, and then continue to bring the physical meanness, that element that he brings. It's you don't see a lot with young kids.
So instead of going right to the University of Minnesota, go play a year of either junior in the U.S. or Western League and then go to the university?
Right. He's definitely not going to university next year.
Okay.
It's either Green Bay or Portland. And like he told us, he's going to wait to see which team drafts him, and he's going to make his whatever.
Okay.
He wants guidance from the NHL team, so to speak.
Okay. Okay. Very cool. And then the other defenseman you take is Jacob Leander. We thought that was your last pick. Another 6'4" guy out of HV71 in Sweden. He's a right shot D. What did your group like about him?
Specifically, our Swedish scout, David Åkerblom, liked his size, his ruggedness, and his mobility. And he thinks he's a really smart puck mover. And he's capable, just not a skilled or creative offensive guy. But he likes the ruggedness and the size.
Okay.
Like he said, you see these guys in the playoffs when you're playing. When you're watching the playoffs in the semifinals and the finals, these types of guys are there.
And then two wingers to round it out. We talked about the other winger already in Jan, your last pick. But then the fifth and the sixth round pick, both wingers. And we had a chance to chat with Ethan Wittenbach, your fifth round pick out of Sioux Falls. He won the Gaudreau Award in the USHL. And boy, like that, there's energy and a little bit of a swagger. He's like, I'm all about winning. All I care about is winning. My guess is he would have scored high in the character department. Would that be accurate?
You know what? It wasn't a sentimental choice, but it's a really good ribbon on top, right? That whole the Johnny Award, and 50 points in 41 games. I think people call him undersized. I think we've had success with some undersized guys here. You know, the same with Potter, like he's 5'10", but when you're going back to the Flurries and the Johnnies and Mangiapane, like we're not going to dismiss those guys. And he's got energy and he wants to score, and he's a long-term play, but I think he's going back to junior next year too. But again, like our US guys said, this guy's a hockey player. And then the neat thing about him too was he was backed up by our analytics. Our analytics guys liked him a lot, and they kept on making our guys go back and see him. So when I talk about during the season, like the parallel tracks and how much everybody helps everybody, this was one of those type of players.
Okay. These ones were, I said, after Maceo was when it really got into the area, guys
right.
Starting to push their players. So that would be the same with Aiden Lane, the winger out of St. Andrews College. Is he committed to Harvard next year? Is that the plan?
He is going to Harvard next year.
Okay.
So he was going to stay at St. Andrews this year, I believe. He started in St. Andrews. I saw him early. We saw him last year a lot when Dean Letourneau was there, right? He was an underage there. So he came on the radar for myself and Terry Doran. And then started at SAC this year. And Terry went and saw him a lot earlier because he was on the radar. And then he ends up in Brampton. So you're in to see Marton. And then this guy, like, I wouldn't have seen him as much if Marton hadn't been there. But Terry saw him a lot. And Terry saw him at SAC. He saw him at Brampton. Then he saw him in the playoffs in Brampton.
Yep.
So then he's off to Harvard. So Terry, like, we just gave the pick to Terry. He had a couple guys he really liked. And he said that when it came down to it, I think one guy went before Aiden. And then he said, okay, we'll take Lane.
Kind of big picture, that's 18 selections in the last 2 years for your group in the two drafts. You get the one additional one this year, and so you end up with 8 picks this year. Just tell us about the buzz inside that room and what it was like yesterday and today as your group was putting together this 8-person class of 2025.
Well, I'll tell you, like, I've been very critical of the format. I do not like this format but there are some positives, and some of the positives are being in the room. Like at the table, you can't have the interactions we had. So that was really cool. And it was like the guys were, again, they're engaged, they're excited. And when we got down to that pick, we were 20 picks away from our last pick, and we started talking, and Connie looks at me because these guys are talking about these players they like. And Connie goes, I'm going to have to get another pick. And that's how we got to, better get another pick, and he did. He went out and got the pick. So,
yep.
So it was great. It was that part of being in the room together through the whole thing and being able to have conversations as we're going on was really good.
Appreciate the time. You're happy as always, right? Like it's always, we're thrilled about the group. Like you're pretty stoked as usual, aren't you?
If I'm not at the end of this draft, any draft, then it might be a problem. Yeah.
Appreciate the time as always. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.